WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington, where a remembrance ceremony took place this morning at the Pentagon, 22 years after the September 11th attack.
Sarah M. Clark.
In New York, people have gathered to remember those who lost their lives as well. Odyssey reporter Glenn Schuck is there.
Hundreds of family members and friends who lost loved ones on 9/11 now holding each other up yet again at another anniversary ceremony, which they admit is almost impossible to get through, but somehow they do it. Hiram DeJesus here to honor his sister, Nereida, who was killed at the age of 30 in the Twin Towers.
She made it down to the ground, but since it all happened early, her building didn't get attacked yet, so she went back up from, you know, they found her remains like 3 months later.
He says the years go by, the pain doesn't subside.
Vice President Harris attended. The second husband is in Shanksville, and later today, President Biden will attend a ceremony in Anchorage, Alaska. Utter devastation after the earthquake in Morocco. Crews are racing against the clock, digging through the rubble, trying to find any survivors buried in the debris. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Marrakesh.
More than 300,000 people have been impacted by the quake, including foreign residents like Helen Gallagher.
We just couldn't ever imagine something like this happening here, really. It's just been totally devastating. We're just in survival mode and just trying to get help out to the people who most need it.
While here in Marrakesh and its famed Kasbah, medieval walls that have stood for 1,000 years could topple with the next aftershock. Shock if they haven't already.
The death toll continues to grow. Nearly 2,500 people have been confirmed dead so far. Reporter Alex Jensen has the latest now on talks between the leaders of North Korea and Russia.
Neither the exact schedule nor the agenda for their summit's been revealed, but Kim Jong-un is set to meet Vladimir Putin within the coming days, based on reports out of both North Korea and Russia. And based on engagement involving officials from both sides in recent weeks, there are concerns the two leaders will discuss an arms deal in defiance of the United Nations embargo.
The manhunt continues for an escaped murderer in Pennsylvania. There have been several sightings of Danilo Cavalcante, but so far, police haven't been able to get him. This weekend, he even stole a van, but later ditched it. This man lives nearby.
Folks are really vigilant around here. You've come to our back road, out here in our woods. We're going to help find you. We're going to get you.
But it's been 12 days and nothing so far. Checking Wall Street, the Dow is up 74 points, NASDAQ up 79, S&P 500 up 17. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Not completely.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A lack of affordable child care in Wisconsin could affect other industries, according to child care workers. Activists say as more families are squeezed out of affordable child care every year, more parents are being forced to leave the workforce to take care of their own children. Business owners have also reported that full-time staff members have been forced to cut hours and work irregularly to accommodate child care needs. Governor Tony Evers called a special session of the legislature to consider picking up funding for child care in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced they're looking to buy red pine seeds from the public. The collection is part of a reforestation program to replenish red pine trees throughout the state, which have been depleted after years of lacking good cone crops. The Department of Natural Resources will pay Wisconsinites $125 per bushel for properly collected red pine cones, and residents should call Griffith Nursery in Wisconsin Rapids, Wilson Nursery in Boscobel, and Hayward Nursery in Hayward to confirm purchasing is still open. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is not Kristen Bry in your ears and on your live streams. I am guest host Joe Zepecki, sitting in for our friend Kristen. Big Monday show. We have Jane back on the board. We're going to hear all about her world travels. But of course, we have to start today, September 11th, 2023, remembering September 11th, 2001. This morning, President Biden putting out a remembrance saying this is President Joe Biden. Today, we remember the 2,977 precious lives stolen from us on 9/11 and reflect on all that was lost in the fire and ash that September morning. The American story itself changed on this day 22 years ago, but what could not and will not change is the character of this nation. If there is a first responder in your life, if there is a service member, past or present or future in your life, show them your gratitude today. Take a few moments to think about those who lost loved ones, those who are still grappling with some of the long-term effects, those who are on the pile, have some of the worst incidences and case rates of very serious medical issues 22 years later. The suffering from that day continues. And so we have everyone who was touched by that tragedy in our hearts today. We're going to get into some football. It was week one for the Packers.
And they won.
And they won. Great start to the Jordan Love era. We are going to talk about, I guess this is week two of impeachment insanity here in Wisconsin. We're going to dedicate most of the second hour to that. But first and foremost, we got to start. Jane Matinair back on the board, world traveler. Jane, how was your trip?
The trip was really, really good, Joe.
That's great. So walk us through it. So you were gone for 2 weeks.
We were.
Where all did you go?
We went to London for 3 days was the plan. And I just want to say, starting out, this is the first trip that we've been on since 2019. So I haven't been on a plane since then. They've shrunk the seats again. They have. Oh my God. I couldn't believe how tiny the seats were in economy.
And that's a long flight. How long was it?
Well, this is another complaint I have. It used to take 6 hours to fly from O'Hare to London.
Okay.
This time it was 7.5 hours.
Headwinds, or they take a different route?
Yeah, we stopped in China first. No, it's. I think they're flying slower to conserve fuel. And our 7.5 hour flight actually turned into 9 hours.
Oh my
because, and the cabin crew was very specific about blaming the ground crew for not having loaded whatever cargo was supposed to be on this flight. So, yeah, so we sat there for an hour and about an hour and 15 minutes while they were getting loaded up. And it turned into like 9 hours.
Oh, my gosh. And this was only the first travel hiccup.
This is the first leg. This is just the first leg.
Out of the gates, we've got a little hiccup.
Yeah. And I don't know how you feel about this with flying, but I think reclining your seat the entire way is a violation of humanity.
Oh, it's like, yeah, no, it's like a war crime.
It is. And so the woman in front of me reclined all the way back. So my nose was like 6 inches from my screen.
No.
Yeah. And when we were in London, we were on a bus one day, and this woman was there with her three little boys, 10 and 7 and maybe a 2-year-old who was in a little push thing. And he really wanted to get up. And she didn't want him to get out because there were only a few stops, whatever. So he pitched a fit like I haven't seen in a long time. And he's right in front of us. And at one point, Joe, in between the crying and the screaming, he would throw his blanket over his face and just go, oh.
Those deep wails.
Oh, it was just so dramatic. Oh, that's how I felt on that flight. I want to get up. I have to get out of here. Get me off this plane.
But you did get off the plane.
We did get off the plane.
You made it.
Got to London. Love London. We've been there many times. My husband is English.
I have not. What are the first three things we should do when we go?
Oh, I love Covent Garden.
Okay.
They have buskers. Some are really good. Some aren't okay, but that's a whole different art form that I have a whole bunch of respect for.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd work that they do, it's a different form of stand-up.
Okay.
Essentially. So we go to Covent Garden. We went to a museum. You have to, it's like required.
Got
to
be cultural.
Yeah, you have to do some culture things. And we went to Chinatown, which we always do for crispy duck. And you should see Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
And also the Tower of London tour is wonderful.
Yeah.
So I would suggest for sure those couple things.
Okay. We took the fam to San Francisco for sort of a long weekend.
And oh, nice.
Did the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz. And Coit Tower, which was great. It's sort of an overlook bought down by the wharf. It was a nice little trip.
I
and,
bet.
Of course, Chinatown in San Francisco. But the nerd in me emerges when I tell you my most favorite part of that trip was spending some time in the famous City Lights bookstore. And then later on that day, while everybody else went thrifting in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood.
Oh, how fun.
I went and sat at a local pub, had a glass of whiskey, and read my book.
That's pretty high up there on the nerd scale.
I am who I am.
Embrace it. You just got to embrace it, Joe. I think that's great.
So you did London.
We did London, and then we were supposed to fly to Croatia. We were going to...
Supposed to,
yes. Didn't make it to Croatia the day that we were supposed to leave. We're at Gatwick Airport, and there was a countrywide air traffic controller software meltdown, so they canceled 2,000 flights.
Did they try unplugging the computer and plugging it back in?
You would think they would reboot.
God.
It was a mess because there was no communication for what was happening. You know, your flight's up on the board and you're waiting for the gate number, and the gate number came up, and all of a sudden it said boarding. Well, how can it be boarding? No one knows what gate we're supposed to be at.
So after
about 5 hours, we finally found out that our flight got canceled. You have to go back through passport control, collect your luggage, and we went back to London for another 3 days because the next day they canceled 1,700 flights.
Oh, my God.
And then the next day was Wednesday. That would have left us to spend the night and then to fly back.
So there's a silver lining here, though. So we had a bad delay, like a 21-hour delay
coming
back from San Francisco. But it was one of those where it was like, your flight's been delayed right out of the gate, like first thing in the morning. But it wasn't enough time to like actually go and do anything.
Oh, that's awful.
Knowing that it was just like, okay, this is melting down. We're going to stay here. At least you could sort of plan and have a couple extra days.
Yeah. No, it was great. And the people watching in London is fantastic. I don't know what it is about that city, but it's so international. You hear different accents and different languages everywhere you go. And it's just a wonderful people watching city.
One of the true global cities.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then so after 3 extra days in London, we went to Portugal. We went to the Algarve, which is the southern coast of Portugal, and spent 9 nights there. The weather was lovely. It was like mid to low 70s. A little rain. That was okay. But not brutally hot. It had been well into the 90s in the weeks leading up to us getting there. So I was kind of glad we avoided that.
And is that, so go for 9 days to just kind of do nothing? Or is it excursions and day trips? And
we did a bunch of day trips. There were a bunch of towns along the coast that we had wanted to check out and see. And the first part of our trip is usually the educational portion.
Okay.
And then we become slugs. And so there was a lot of eating and drinking, and I made a breakthrough with fish. I don't like fish.
Now you do? We have
and
a convert?
We had some, it was supposed to be the best fish fry in Lagos, called Old Bastards was the name of the restaurant. And we had hake.
Okay.
Which I'm is a white fish. It's a white fish like a cod.
What I want to ask, but it sounds like maybe you're not experienced enough to answer, is like, how does a Portugal fish fry compare to, say, a Wisconsin Supper Club fish fry?
I would say the fish is much bigger.
Okay.
Bigger there? Bigger there.
Okay.
That was one big piece of fish. And the breading is a little bit different.
Okay.
Not better or worse. Just
different.
Just different, okay. You know? And they also serve, which I think is disgusting, they're called mushy peas. This is a traditional English thing.
Like they mash them?
Yeah, but these were kind of like pureed. Ooh. So it looks like bad guacamole.
Oh, no.
And tastes like peas, which, again, that's a very traditional.
Oh, no.
I know. It's a very English thing. But anyway.
And any problems coming back from the trip, or did that all go off as planned?
Actually, that went smoothly.
That's great. So if I had to pick, right, like, are you going to be inconvenienced traveling to a place or back from a place? I think to a place would be my pick.
Yeah.
Because what can happen is you sort of, if like you're frustrated coming home, like we had the long delay on our last trip, it sort of takes some of the good that you got out of the trip.
For sure.
Because you're just frustrated when you get home.
Yeah. No, so I think you're right. I think it's better to have it unless you're missing another flight.
Well, right.
But and actually on Aer Lingus, that was the best meal I've ever had on a plane.
What was it? It wasn't mashed peas.
It
was mushy peas.
It was not mushy peas. It was a steak stew.
Wow.
It was just fantastic.
So the size of the seats has shrunk, but perhaps the quality of the meals has improved.
It depends on the airline.
Ah, okay.
Aer Lingus, though, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Aer Lingus.
All right. Well, we are so glad to have you back.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Greg for covering me while I was gone.
Wonderful that you got to do that before you're going to be in the big chair for a little while.
Couple months.
Here on As Goes Wisconsin. As you can tell, this is not Kristen. I am sitting in for Kristen today. I am Joe Zepecki. She is Jane Mattenair. Stay with us. Come on back. We're going to talk about the weekend that was and the kickoff of the football season. See you on the other side.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Dig out the Lederhosen. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 16th. This all-day fest features German food and beer, an axe-throwing contest, 50-50 raffle, and it wouldn't be the same without live polka music throughout the fest. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 16th, 11 to 7 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, and is brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More information at haywardoktoberfest.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a few sprinkles or showers, a high near 69. For tonight, a few sprinkles, lows around 48. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, sunshine with a high around 68. Thursday, sunshine and warmer, highs back to the mid-70s. Right now, it's 62.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is guest host Joe Zepecki sitting in for Kristen. She'll be back tomorrow. Stay with us, though. That, of course, was the famous University of Wisconsin marching band. Game two of the Luke Fickell era was Saturday. Not sure if I'm ready to talk about it yet.
So painful.
We will talk some football this hour, I promise you. But I got another question for Jane.
Yeah.
Who is back from her world travels. Do you experience FOMO with the news when you are on vacation? Like, what's your approach? Like, are you still looking at your phone and checking the headlines or maybe reading that newspaper that the hotel puts in front of your door? Do they still do that anywhere?
They don't.
Oh, man.
No, there's no free papers anymore.
Oh, man.
Although, actually, in London, they do. They do hand out free papers.
Okay.
I do dip into Twitter.
Okay. But like a hopefully a shallow dive, you're just like, okay, if there's anything really important.
Yeah, has the world exploded that I need to know? So I would check Twitter, you know, a couple times a day, but not like I live on it normally.
And I would imagine, though, that doing what you do, riding shotgun with Kristen, when you come back, you go like, oh, my God, what did I miss?
Yeah.
So you probably kind of did a little dive into what happened in the world while you were relaxing and resting as you deserve.
I certainly heard about the Janet Protasiewicz must go.
Okay, so that was the first one that sort of struck you as like, what the heck was going on while I was gone?
And you know, Joe, it shouldn't surprise anyone. And I don't know that I was actually surprised by this news because we've been talking for the last year and a half. The Republicans have baked it so that they win.
Yeah.
And why would they ever give that up?
And if they don't win, they just change the rules.
Exactly.
So that they have the basically all the power.
Exactly. To do what they want. Anyway,
yeah,
I can't imagine that people aren't going to be upset if they do this because she won by such a massive, massive amount.
This was not a close election. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on with newly sworn in. I think we can still say that it was just last month. She hasn't even been on the bench. I think a full month. Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who of course was elected in April by an 11-point margin. We're going to spend the second hour talking about the Protasiewicz impeachment, the odds of that. We're going to be joined by Evan Goyke, a member of the state assembly, to sort of give his perspective on why this is happening, what we can do to sort of let folks know that there's going to be a political price to pay for this. So much more on that in the second hour. Anything else strike you as you did your homework and said, okay, what did I miss the last couple weeks?
So,
we're here for you, Jane.
We want to get you
back up to speed.
Michael Gableman. Michael Gableman was testifying, I believe, in California on behalf of John Eastman, who is facing disbarment.
And some felony charges.
Yeah, those
Pretty
two.
Sure that guy caught a RICO rap.
Yeah, those two. And in reading some of Michael Gabelman's testimony, it came up the investigation he did into the 2020 election. The amount of things he does not know and processes he did not follow is really mind-blowing.
Yeah, if you're going to have somebody like do a after-action review, you usually want them to have some expertise.
Yeah.
Or you want somebody who can pick things up, new processes, new concepts. I'm not sure that's Mr. Gabelman.
I don't think so. Yeah. It was kind of stunning. It's like, and he was on our Supreme Court.
Yeah. Not a banner day for banner period for the people of Wisconsin.
No. So that kind of jumped out at me.
Okay.
And what else did I miss? Those are the two things that really, obviously, the Justice Janet.
If you haven't heard, the impeachment insanity right here in Wisconsin is not the only impeachment insanity we're about to embark on. In the last couple weeks, we have seen more and more indications that the House of Representatives is going to open an impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. Why? No one can tell us. There is no wrongdoing. There's not even any allegation of wrongdoing. What this really looks like. And so don't be surprised if this month the House votes to try to impeach Joe Biden. Mr. McCarthy, who had a very hard time becoming Speaker of the House.
Yeah,
we all remember the 16 votes.
That was a shame.
The Freedom Caucus, the lunatic fringe, the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetzes, they sort of have Mr. McCarthy checkmated. And he needs their votes to pass spending bills to avoid a government shutdown at the end of this month. And in order to get that, they are basically saying you have to impeach Joe Biden. It doesn't matter that there's no cause to do that or any reason to do that. And so he is sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. He wants to get these appropriations bills done. He can't do it without them, or at least he doesn't think he can. And so we might see how do I put this? I'm not sure which impeachment would be more ridiculous. Joe Biden for not doing anything wrong or Janet Protasiewicz, who hasn't even weighed in on a single case as a state Supreme Court justice. I mean, how do I figure this out? Who do we give the edge to?
Yeah, it's a tough call. It is. But with the Republicans wanting to impeach President Biden, they need a distraction from the 91 felony charges that Donald Trump is facing. And I think they are trying to get people to believe that the men are the same.
Yeah. There is a political strategy. I am often described as a political strategist on this fine program when I'm a guest. I've certainly done a lot of that and do a lot of that in my life. Sometimes when you can't win on an issue, what you are trying to do is muddle the issue and make it seem like there's no difference. It is in this case, particularly egregious strategic decision to try to say, we're going to make Joe Biden appear to be like Donald Trump because we can't win with a guy who's got 91 felony counts and civil trials and his businesses are still under very serious investigation by the New York Attorney General. I don't think it's going to work, but that certainly does seem like what they're going to try.
And don't you think a government shutdown is coming too?
Yeah, I do. I'm not sure how long it will be, but I'm also not going to bet against President Biden and Mitch McConnell figuring out how to get this done. We may talk more.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Today marks 22 years since the 9/11 attack. Bells tolled at Ground Zero, marking the moment American Flight 11 hit the North Tower. Tributes are being held around the country. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was at the Pentagon.
I know that it aches to remember this milestone year after year, and I know that nothing can make it right.
Help is desperately needed in Morocco following the deadly earthquake.
We need to help because every family here don't have the house. Every house here is broken.
Crews are working to rescue an American from deep inside a cave in Turkey. CBS's Remy Innocencio is there.
Best case scenario, we will see Mark Dickey surface from this cave, feel the sun, breathe the fresh air, and get the medical attention that he so desperately needs as soon as Tuesday or Wednesday.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Polk County Sheriff's Office has announced a motorcyclist died after crashing into a sign in western Wisconsin yesterday morning. According to the Sheriff's Office, authorities were alerted to the crash just before 5 a.m. and responded to the intersection of State Highway 35 and County Highway E in Lewis. They say the motorcyclist was traveling west on County Highway E and failed to round a curve before going off the road, hitting the sign, and landing in a thicket. The name of the motorcyclist was not released, and they were not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has approved a new emergency rule to create a formal policy for ballot challenges for candidates. Republican Commissioner Bob Spindle urged the commission to kill the plan, stating the rule opens the door to use the 14th Amendment to keep former President Donald Trump off the ballot and predicts a flood of lawsuits over the rule change. The rule change was approved by a 5-1 vote, with Spindle as the only outlier. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Tap.
Going a little crazy on a rainy Monday. This is As Goes Wisconsin, or when I'm here, we call it the Jane and Joe Show. What do we think? New branding? I'm Joe Zepecki, sitting in for Kristen Bride today. Jane Matinere is back from her world travels. We are delighted to have her and delighted to have you along with us this morning. Before the break, we were talking about the likelihood of a government shutdown. This is the federal government. The spending bills that keep the government open are coming due. The end of the fiscal year for the government is September 30th. And there's a lot of concern about whether or not the government is going to be able to stay open with Kevin McCarthy and Republicans in control of the House. Before the break, I was mentioning one of the books I'm reading right now, The Last Politician, which is an insider's look at the Biden White House and the first couple years of his administration. Franklin Foer is the author. He's a writer for The Atlantic. Clearly got a lot of access, both Republican and Democratic sources throughout, from the national security community, from the Biden White House and the West Wing. It's really well sourced. It's a really fascinating read. I want to share one thing I was sort of teasing before the break, that Joe Biden's pretty good at this, folks. And so while I think we are probably headed towards a government shutdown because of the makeup of the Republican House of Representatives, I'm not sure of it. And I'm not sure of it because of how good President Biden is at this. I want to share just one anecdote from the book before we move to talking about football, because it's a Monday in Wisconsin. The Packers are 1-0. We got a lot to talk about. But there's a part of the book where they're talking about the American Rescue Plan. This was the first big stimulus package, COVID relief package that passed early in the Biden administration. And there were no Republicans who voted for it, not a one. But in the process of putting that legislation together, President Biden sort of overruled his legislative staff and said, I want you to keep these couple of things in here regarding that are good for the state of Alaska. Senator Lisa Murkowski, a Republican from Alaska, she's not going to vote for this. We know that. But I'm not going to punish her. We're not going to take this stuff out. We're going to leave it in because she's going to remember that. And we're going to be able to work together on some things down the road. And sure enough, she was one of the Republicans who crossed over and voted for the infrastructure bill. I believe she was one of the Republicans who voted for the CHIPS Act. And so President Biden, given his long service in the Senate, which I know a lot of people like to reduce to a punchline, he's really good at this. And so it would not surprise me if he is able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and strike some kind of deal with the Republicans in the House to keep the government open. Watch this space.
Well, and it just never seems to work well for the party that does the shutdown.
Well, and it's always the Republicans. In the last 30 years, it's always been the Republicans who forced government shutdowns. I guess the plural of that is government's shutdown. I don't know. Maybe that's my attorney's general joke of the day here on As Goes Wisconsin. But yeah, the politics don't work out for them.
It's not popular.
It never goes well, and yet they keep running it back. I don't know. Maybe it's often been said nothing was learned from the second kick from the mule. Maybe Republicans will have learned something from like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth kick of the mule, because that's how many shutdowns we've had in like the last 30 years.
Wow.
It's pretty remarkable.
It really is. And again, guys, it doesn't make you very popular.
No.
It just
It just makes people angry. And I have a little bit different perspective on this too, because I served in the Obama administration during his first term and was at an agency, the U.S. Small Business Administration, during one of these shutdown fights. And you have thousands of federal employees and their families trying to figure out, are they going to be coming? It's Friday afternoon and are they coming to work on Monday? Are they going to get paid in 10 days time? Because they've got bills to pay. They've got a mortgage payment to make. And sitting there trying to figure out how to communicate with a workforce that is not just in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Right. This is, people say, oh, Washington, the feds, it's big government, nonsense. The U.S. Small Business Administration and many other federal agencies have federal employees
all over
the United States.
Yep.
Right. And so this has a real impact on people's lives when they monkey around with it. Let's cross our fingers that the last politician, President Joe Biden, has another rabbit to pull out of his hat. And we don't have to go through that. But we're going to switch gears here. Badgers, Packers, Cougars, and Bears. Oh, my. What a weekend. We had a Badger game 2 weekends ago. Right? This was the second Badger game. Dawn of the fickle era. But Packer Mondays just hit different. And, of course, yesterday was the very first start for Jordan Love, with it sort of being his team. He's started and played some in the past.
Yeah.
But it's his team now. And it's only the third time in the last 31 years that there's a new quarterback whose team it is. I mean, my goodness. I was 10 years old
wow.
when Brett Favre started playing. And then I was 26 years old when Aaron Rodgers started playing. And now I'm an old guy with gray in my beard. I have been so spoiled, and I have had very, very tempered, moderate expectations for Jordan Love.
That's good.
And for this team this year. And the Bears have gotten better. And I was just, sort of the Eeyore, just be like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. And then the Packers come out and walk all over the Bears 38-20. The defense scores. Love throws a couple touchdowns, doesn't turn the ball over. We're off. We're off and running. Did you watch the game, Jane?
I did. I had it on, and I was really delighted to see Jordan Love do well.
It was very nice.
It was. I want the guy to succeed. I think he's been waiting for this opportunity, and he did a good job yesterday. The Bears quarterback, ooh, woof. That was rough.
Listen, Justin Fields is a really special talent. That guy ran for 1,100 yards last year. He can sort of make something out of nothing. And he did that a couple times.
Yeah.
But one of the strengths of this Packers team is clearly going to be the defense. And they set the tone early. You know, I think it was maybe the first drive of the game. The Bears go for it on fourth and short. The Packers defense stops them. You get a short field for Jordan Love. That'll make a young quarterback comfortable. A few plays later, he's in the end zone, you know, with a nice ball to Romeo Doubs. It just all, and it from that point on, you just went like, okay. And the first half was a little closer on the scoreboard. But that became such a blowout that the second string quarterback got in with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I did not think that was how we were going to start the Jordan Love era. The mop-up duty that, you know, a couple times a year Jordan Love would have to do for Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Now, so it was a very, very fun Sunday of football. But I think the story of the weekend is it's sort of a tale of two teams. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Because the Packers, it's all excitement. It's Jordan Love delivering. It's Aaron Jones, you know, 150 yards, couple of scores. The defense got on the board. Quay Walker with a nice interception return for a touchdown. People are feeling really, really good about the Packers because we still own the Bears. Or maybe Jordan Love owns the Bears. Maybe he and Aaron Rodgers had a little, you know, transfer ceremony where he transferred ownership of the Bears to Jordan Love. But the Badgers was sort of different. Badgers went out west to Washington State on Saturday evening, and that game was close for a while, but it never felt like it was close. It really felt like Wisconsin was outmatched. You will not find a bigger Badger fan. I am a University of Wisconsin graduate. I love my Badgers. And sort of similar to how I've been a little bit tempered in terms of my expectations for the Fickle era, I didn't get too high after the week one win. And I was nervous heading into Saturday. And it turns out there was a good reason to be nervous. Did you watch the Badger game too?
No, we were traveling.
Oh, you were coming back?
Yeah, we didn't get back till late Saturday night. I did see on Twitter, though, comments about some of the calls.
Yeah. The officiating was, listen, I'm not going to be that guy. The Badgers got outplayed. You can always find calls to disagree with, including a crucial call on a fumble late in the game. Ches Malusi, Badger running back, looks like he's on the ground. Ball comes out late. And it was just sort of a continuation of the ball kind of not bouncing Bucky's way on Saturday. There were a couple plays earlier in the game. You know, we've got the Cougars backed up, and a snap goes over the head of the quarterback, and he's able to pick it up. It just bounces right back to him and throw it away, as opposed to we recover it for a touchdown or we, you know, sack the guy for a safety. Another play in that same drive, when the quarterback's trying to hand the ball to the running back, it just pops out and it fumbles. But again, it bounces right back to them. Those 50-50 balls, those 50-50 plays, when they don't go your way, that's tough. But you got to make plays. And the Badgers didn't make enough plays. I thought the quarterback, Tanner Mordecai, looked really good. The running game was not there. And that's kind of hard to stomach as a longtime Badger football fan. You know, part of what is happening in this Fickle era is he wants to go to an air raid style offense. They're going to go fast. They're not huddling. They're trying to get a lot of plays, a lot of snaps. And if you've watched Wisconsin football since the dawn of the Barry Alvarez era, like 1991, 1992, you know that this team's calling card has been, we're going to run the ball. We're going to chew clock. We're going to make it miserable for you to try and compete with us. And in week one, the air raid, the passing game kind of wasn't working. But the two Badger running backs, Malusi, who I just mentioned, and of course, Braylon Allen, combined for just shy of 300 yards on the ground. It was like 298 yards on 30 carries, and it felt like Wisconsin football, even though that game was a little bit closer in the first half than you wanted to. And the week one felt different. Saturday evening, it just never felt right. The Washington State offense had a game plan. They were moving around in ways that, you know, by formation and with motion, that was just setting up advantages for the offense. And so I was texting with our own Kristen Bry, host of Ask Coast Wisconsin, when I'm not in the chair. And she, it just sort of came through. She went, "Are you watching this game?" And I said, "Well, yeah. And was expressing some frustration. And my reminder to her was just, rebuilding takes time.
For sure.
And she, I think she appreciated that perspective, because she told me, she said, "That's a good perspective." And listen, overhauling a college football team roster and, you know, evolving a program is not quite like turning an ocean liner, but it's not entirely dissimilar either. It is going to take a little while for Coach Fickell to put his stamp on this Badger program.
Definitely.
And it, you know, it's just going to take some time. And so anybody who was thinking this might be the year, I think was reading too much into the schedule. We are only scheduled to play one ranked opponent this year. It's Ohio State. I don't know that I see it. I don't know that I see it. So I'm feeling a little bit better about the Packers than I am about the Badgers on this Monday morning. I'm feeling like, even though I feel better about the Packers, I'm still not counting on a playoff berth. That's just where I am. Where are you, folks? How are you feeling about week one Packers, about the Jordan Love era, about the Coach Fickell era? Because there are big questions. This is, you know, a new day in Wisconsin football. Join the conversation. Text us, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. You can also call in. I want to know what you're thinking about the Packers, about the Badgers. And when we come back, I just want to talk about, like, the process of enjoying football. Because I think a lot of us do it very differently. And I'm starting to wonder if I have a problem. if I've maybe gone just a bit too deep into the football is defining how we live our life and shape our weekends. Do you, if you're experiencing similar questions, if you're not sure if you've gone a little overboard with the number of fantasy football leagues and betting pools that you're in, come on back, let us know. Otherwise, I'm going to do a little self-talk therapy. Maybe Jane will help me with this problem, or maybe she'll just tell me I don't have a problem, but it's totally okay because I'm just a good old Wisconsin boy who loves cheering for his good old Wisconsin football teams. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Mattinair's on the board. I'm Joe Zepecki in for Kristen. Come on back after the break.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at amoryfallfestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, a few sprinkles or showers, a high near 69. For tonight, a few sprinkles, lows around 48. For Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, sunshine with a high around 68. Thursday, sunshine and warmer, highs back to the mid-70s.
Right now, it's 62.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame, how could you ever...
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Joe Zepecki, in for Kristen Bry. Hey, we're talking football, and sometimes you call a play in the huddle, and you come up to the line, and you see an opportunity to call a little audible. We are delighted to be joined by Mike Clemens, Civic Media's own, to talk a little more football. How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. How are we feeling after yesterday's resounding win against the Bears? You were there, correct?
Yeah. Well, what's been the reaction of most of your listeners? What do you think? They're surprised or pleasantly surprised? Because my initial reaction was, I can't believe that the Bears didn't make any progress in the offseason.
I know.
And the number one thing was, I expected a Justin Fields with some new weapons, and one that I was talking about last week was DJ Moore. They traded for this guy because they knew that they were weak at wide receiver after last year, and they got him the ball a couple times, and I expected Luke Getsy, a former Packers assistant coach, now the offensive coordinator down there, to try and figure out ways to get the ball to this DJ Moore, maybe in short, high percentage throws for Justin Fields. In other words, make it accurate, easy for him to get the ball to this guy, because yards after the catch, he's good. Once he catches the ball, you know, he can go for it. But they only threw it to him twice.
I think they were describing him as like a, you know, he's like a running back who catches the ball from the wide receiver position. Get him in space, right? Throw him a little rocket screen.
Speed, and he's got good moves. But, you know, gets ends up being the leading rusher for the Chicago Bears yesterday. Is Justin Fields with 59 yards. He kept on coming out of the pocket. Now, I talked to the Packers defensive back, Rasul Douglas. I said, so was the game plan to contain? And he said, yeah. He said, we pretty much we're going to just let him pass because they don't think he's that accurate a passer. Keep the pressure coming, but just make sure he didn't get outside. And, you know, Justin Fields got hammered last year. The offensive line was not very good. I don't think they've improved that much. Apparently, in the offseason, their center is Lucas Patrick, a former Packer from a couple of years ago. So the biggest story to me was that the Bears apparently made little or no progress in the offseason. And talking to some of the great reporters down there, like Hub Arkish, you know, before the game, he said, you know, during training camp, they kept on telling us, well, it's only practice. It's only practice. But I think you're seeing the results. They're still not ready yet on offense.
You practice like you play, and the big question has been, is Justin Fields going to make that leap, right? He ran for 1,100 yards last year, really dynamic. And you're right, they don't have the weapons. They're still the Bears. And I think that's the question, because to answer your question to me, I think people are pleasantly surprised this morning. I don't know that everybody assumed we were going to go into Soldier Field and roll the Bears like we have historically. We had won 8 in a row. Now it's 9. I don't think people were really like out of pocket with their expectations for Jordan Love and this Packer team. And so now the question becomes like, was this about the Packers or was it more about the Bears? You know, I was talking to somebody before the game I said, well, what do you think about the Love era? I said, well, ask me in 6 weeks. You got to sort of let this play out a little bit. But in your mind, is yesterday's game more about who the Packers are in terms of their defensive identity, getting the ball in their playmakers' hands like Aaron Jones, and sort of giving Love a game plan he can manage? Or is it more about the Bears are still the Bears?
No, Joe, because I went to Cincinnati for the joint practices, and the second and third teams of the Bengals are better than what the Bears put on the field yesterday.
Wow.
I'm watching this stuff with the binoculars, and just like, you know, oh, my God, they're just getting beat up and down on the side. And I don't want to take away from what the Packers put up yesterday, because you saw a far more physical Green Bay Packers. And by the way, those seven or eight veterans that have moved to New York to join Aaron Rodgers have been replaced by younger, faster guys.
Yep.
It's a faster team.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in a press conference last week, Wednesday morning, and the news comes out that, Christian Watson out, hamstring. Totally news to us.
Uh-oh.
Something that had happened in their NFL bye week about – LaFleur said he had about a week to change his game plan and take number nine, you know, their tall, fast receiver, out of the equation for the game plan. And so the first thing I thought is like, well, what is he going to do? Because, you know, after Romeo Doubs, who was then questionable for the game, I started thinking, you know what? Now, wait a minute. I flashed back for some reason to a game. Wendell LaFleur was a coach, and Aaron Rodgers and the team went down to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. Now, they didn't have to go against Patrick Mahomes because he dislocated his knee. They're great quarterback, but they had to come up and be a little inventive, and the answer was Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
There was one play where they lined up Aaron Jones wide left, and he got like a 50-yard reception. There was another time that they were in a red zone and it needed a critical touchdown, and Rodgers threw just an incredible 20-yard pass that kind of had this funny arc to it, almost like a curveball or slider. And Jamal Williams, the other running back, came down with it. And I started asking questions about, what do you think of the chemistry as a receiver between Aaron Jones and Jordan Love? And seemed to be positive. Why they waited until the second half to get Aaron Jones involved was interesting. But look at the payoff for it. I mean, huge gain, 50-something yards on a screenplay. The touchdown where he's wide open across the middle.
On fourth down. Fourth and three.
Yeah, they've got to feature Aaron Jones more. I mean, that's sort of been the guy's career between McCarthy. Everybody keeps on saying, yeah, we've got to get Aaron Jones more involved. Well, it's now time to get him involved. Now, you saw him grab the lower left leg when he scored on that touchdown reception running into the end zone. He said he just tweaked it, after the game, said he didn't have any pain, but, we find out today when he goes to the training room how bad that injury could be.
Well, I took a deep breath because in addition to being a Packers owner and huge fan, I've got Aaron Jones on both of my fantasy football teams. I was not celebrating on that touchdown. I was going, oh, no, his hamstring.
Oh, God, yeah, right. At the end of the day, it is the Jordan Love show. They gave him the game ball, and it's clear that he's got 53 guys totally behind him. This team isn't playing for an Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl. They're playing for each other. That's the big difference right now in Green Bay.
That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports guy. We've got about 30 seconds left before the break here, Mike. Any other injuries of note or of concern out of yesterday's game, or did we come through pretty healthy?
Well, Jaden Reed went limping off after making a spectacular play, but I saw him kind of jogging into the locker room, so it didn't look like it was too bad of an ankle injury. And we'll find out more this afternoon when LaFleur talks to us at 3 o'clock.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mike. Thank you. Come on back next hour talking impeachment insanity on As Goes Wisconsin.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amy
Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at AmoryFallFestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.